Well, if you take care of your Tamagotchi, then it goes on a little trip. It has like a, they go to Paris. That's what mine does. And my Tamagotchi, they go to Paris if you like successfully raise the little guy.
Huh.
The little guy goes to Paris and then you hatch a new one and you start over again. And I'm not so sure what that's about.
Sounds a little Heaviside Layer-esque.
It really does.
If you know what I mean.
You know what I mean. Anybody heard of the classic musical Cats? Anybody?
There's something wrong with me, the amount that I am thinking about Cats, like, any day of the week. It doesn't deserve this much space in my brain. But I am thinking about it all the time.
You know we really love you. It ain't our place to judge you. You're feeling scared about it naturally. There's no point in hiding. So feel free to start confiding. If you need a good friend, you can count on me. You can count on me. You can count on me. Hello, I'm Sequoia Simone.
And I'm Cam.
And this is Fanatical Fix and Where to Find Them,
a Harry Potter fanfiction podcast.
Yet again, we find ourselves in a scenario where we don't have something to talk about for 10 minutes at the top of the episode. But in the last episode, we also were like, okay, we don't have anything to talk about. We're going straight in. And that episode's like an hour and 10 minutes long still.
Talked a lot about names.
There were so many lists of names that we had to get through. Okay, so I guess we're going to do that again. We're going to go straight in again.
Yeah.
And doubly, we should do that because you told me.
I got two.
You've got two.
I got two.
Throwback.
It's a throwback. It's been a long time, I think.
Yeah, I mostly don't open anything that's less than 1,000 words long.
Something came over me.
Great. Well, I'm excited. That means, folks, listeners, we get double the point opportunities off this episode.
Alrighty. Which one of these do I want to do first? I forget what order I wanted to do them in. Let's do this one first.
It's important.
Do the long one first so I can figure it out. The longer one first. Neither of these is long.
Okay. Great. Well, folks, you can make predictions as well. If you want to put those over on Instagram, you can reply, put a comment on our post. Or if you are a patron on Patreon, make sure to get those in for your house points. It's time for our three clues.
Clue number one is the title. The title of this fan fiction is Summer.
Oh, boy.
I tagged this. It's from AO3. So the genre tags on this one are humor and romance. I applied those.
Okay.
And the time period is right before Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, okay.
The month before.
All right. Here are my predictions. Prediction number one, I'm thinking that this is like summer between 5th, 6th year. So they are at the borough.
Okay. Takes place at the borough.
Prediction number two, I'm feeling like I should go with a pairing.
Okay.
I'm feeling a pairing, and I'm feeling, and this might just be because of prediction number one. You're laughing in a way that makes me feel like I should not do it.
You're not going to get it, but go ahead. Go off.
Well, okay. I'm going to, no. Now I'm not going to do it. You've convinced me not to do it.
Go off.
I was gonna say Henny, but that's way too normal for whatever the fuck your face is doing. Okay, never mind. Prediction number two. At some point in this fan fiction, everybody will go play Quidditch.
Okay.
There's just so nothing to go off of here.
You're not
going to
get anything,
in the goddamn summer. Prediction number three. Half of this pairing is Voldemort.
All right. Okay. There we go. That's a good solid try.
Just, like, try to get an unhinged one in there at the end. So.
Yeah. Yeah, dog.
Oh, fuck.
This story was sent in by a listener, so thank you to Lily Ethan for sending this to me.
Ooh, okay, okay.
So the link that's going to be in the description of this episode to this story is a link to a series on AO3, because this was posted as two separate works. One of them is, like, a story, and then there's a coda, like a really short little coda.
Okay, cool, great, love it.
So look forward to that. I love this story. It's really well written. And there's a part of it that I, like, was reading it and I was like, this is maybe, like, too just, like, nice for me to read on the podcast, but we'll figure it out when we get there.
Okay, great.
This is just nice. Oops. This is not a story about Neville Longbottom.
Oh.
Neville Longbottom, hero of the wizarding world, defeated Lord Voldemort in potions class on a Wednesday afternoon in his seventh year at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Casually. This is a story about our hero, Neville Longbottom. It is a wild way to start a fan fiction.
Isn't that a great opening? So good. You see that and you're oh, suddenly I'm filled with power.
I know you came here for a story about Neville Longbottom, who famously, we all know...
Defeated Lord Voldemort in potions class on a Wednesday afternoon.
I love that detail, that it's on a Wednesday afternoon.
What? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Casual.
Casual.
Neville. Oh, I love it when Neville gets his day in the sun. The students of Hogwarts had woken that morning to a perfectly lovely sunny day. The kind of day that promised a long summer. The kind of day that said, come, sit on my grass and dream, to some students.
Wow.
And aren't you itching for a broom between your legs and the snitch at your fingertips, to others?
Wow. Yes.
Beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
Subsequently, potions, which came immediately after a lunch eaten under the high, clear blue sky of the Great Hall, was full of restless teenagers stirring, grinding, and chopping resentfully.
Yeah, who the fuck wants to go to the dungeons when it's, like, a really nice day outside?
Can we have class outside today, Professor Snape? Hey, Professor Snape? Maybe we should have class outside today.
Snape is allergic to the sunlight. He can't possibly.
I think that's a good way to get fucking cursed.
Yeah. Also, I feel like outside might be bad for a potions class, just because, like, a bug might fly into your potion, a bird might chin to your potion, and that would change the potion a lot.
Could set up, like, a tent.
That's true. Magic could easily set up a tent.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
And still enjoy the nice breeze and the nice temperature.
Yeah. Oh, that does sound nice.
You know, that's, I think, maybe one of the most unrealistic things about Harry Potter is that we never see any of the students ask to have class outside. Professor Binns, can we have class outside?
That's it. That's the most unbelievable part. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Like, Ron asks that.
Every
frequently.
Day. We're actually just not told that. It is happening, though.
There was no daydreaming in potions, and there was definitely no Quidditch. Professor Snape was standing at the back of the room, a sharp-eyed vulture, waiting for the slowest student to drop. Mr. Longbottom, what are you doing with that valerian? Quite suddenly, he was right next to Neville, who narrowly missed slicing off a finger. Bruise, not dice, you incompetent boy! Wincing, Neville scraped his board clean and grabbed another bunch of herbs. He didn't notice the single drop of blood he squashed into his potion.
Dun, dun, dun. Also, I would like to note that I really love that this is, in fact, a story about Neville Longbottom.
This is not a story about Neville Longbottom. Please,
okay,
Sequoia.
Okay,
please,
okay.
The author told us right at the top. Like, this is going to sit. This is a warning, right?
Right.
It's going to seem like maybe this is a story about Neville Longbottom, but it's not.
Okay. So I'm being tricked. Thus far, it seems...
You're not being tricked.
It seems like it is.
The author warned you.
And, but it's not.
It might seem like.
Okay. But it's not. Okay.
It's not.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Okay. Neville Longbottom, what are you doing? I'm defeating Lord Voldemort, in fact.
And in fact...
In fact,
I have a plan. Thank you. I'm going to squish a single drop of blood into my potion to make it a deadly hold for the text. Sorry.
Okay.
After first casting a dubious eye over Harry's neatly sliced frog's ears.
How dare he do something correctly?
Do frogs have ears?
Some do.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Am I now just imagining a frog with ears when a frog with ears doesn't exist? Like little pointy ones. Am I making that up?
Are those the ears?
Hey, if we've got any frog biologists out there.
We are definitely not frog biologists here.
Do frogs have ears? Thank you so much. Fanaticalfix@gmail.com.
Like they listen, but like do they have like a physical ear?
Yeah, that piece. Can be diced. It's
right.
Or sliced. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Professor Snape swept up to the front of the class, and so he missed the door opening behind him. Mm-hmm. By the time he had turned around, Lord Voldemort and his Death Eaters were in the dungeon.
He's there. You know, Lord Voldemort was like, it's a beautiful day.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful day. Let's get out there.
Yeah.
I'm feeling, you know what the day is calling to me? The grass is calling to me saying, mm-hmm. you know, barefoot, run barefoot through the grass.
Yes.
And the wind is speaking to me and the sunlight is speaking to me and it's saying, go kill Harry Potter.
Today's your day.
Today's the day.
Carpe diem, baby.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a really beautiful day outside and you're like, you know what? I'm going to fulfill my life's purpose.
Uh-huh. And murder a child.
Yeah, exactly. Like right now, let's go.
Voldemort raised his wand, and Snape bent double, dropping his own hastily drawn wand and grasping his forearm, a creaking groan escaping his clenched teeth. Snape was actually going to make a move.
He was. He tried.
Today. Traitor! Voldemort said, with a voice like a grave's cold breath. I didn't quite get there, did I? A traitor!
You could give me Graves' cold breath, just like a little bit more on that.
Is that not it? I don't know. Let me try one more reading.
Okay.
A traitor!
Ooh.
Was that it?
That's got some cold breath right on there.
Hit the top! Is that a cold breath? It's a cold breath against your audio editing neck. And the word echoed in whispers through the Death Eaters. Then Voldemort was looming over Harry, reaching out to him with hand and wand. But before Harry could do anything, Neville jumped up and pushed him aside. Hero of the Wizarding World.
Pushed Harry aside?
Yeah, Neville did.
Yeah. He's putting his himself in harm's way to save Harry Potter.
He's a good boy.
Fabulous.
Stumbling, they knocked Neville's cauldron to the floor, where it broke on the stone, splashing Voldemort, the potion running over his feet.
Blood magic, blood potion.
Stupid, clumsy children! I will hold you hostage for Hogwarts, and when I control the castle, you will all die. What?
Oh no. Oh no, what's happening?
It's not great to tell your hostages that, like, you're gonna kill them at the end.
Yeah, he's not doing a great job, but also the plan doesn't seem to have been super fleshed out because they were just doing it because it was a nice day. Like, it wasn't like he'd spent a lot of time being like, we will infiltrate the castle on a Wednesday, potions class.
Yeah, it doesn't seem planned. It seems a little spur of the moment.
It's very spur of the moment, very haphazard.
He's making it up as he goes.
He is. And that's not his strong suit,
no.
I don't think. Yeah,
He's not a great improviser, I would say.
No.
Voldemort's robes were smoking, and he was suddenly Harry's height, then shorter.
Is he melting?
Maybe.
I'm melting.
Hold for the text.
Okay, great, great.
Before anyone could move, Voldemort was a puddle on the floor.
Bye.
Bye. Hero of the wizarding world, Neville, made a bad potion that was actually acid.
Oops.
His wand floated for a moment and then disappeared with a final wisp of smoke and a rainbow shimmer across the surface. His last words were, "I'm melting!"
Yes, good. Yes, good. I'm melting. Oh, bye.
Everyone, students, Professor Snape, and the Death Eaters were stunned into immobility by the swiftness of Voldemort's liquid demise.
Yeah, truly, because, like, so much has been building. There's so much has been building to, like, the grand battle, you know, Harry versus Voldemort. There's just...
Turns out, he was super meltable. Imagine that.
The whole time.
The whole time. You could have melted him.
You could have melted that guy the whole time. That's wild.
Yeah. Maybe Neville has invented a novel potion.
With his blood. Blood potion.
With his blood. A little bit of blood magic, a lot of potions accidents equals a novel potion that melts people.
Be hard to recreate.
The only sound in the room was the drip drop of potion from the shards of Neville's cauldron to the floor. The moment was broken by the sound of many feet running in the corridor outside. The door to the potions classroom crashed open to reveal the headmaster, Professor McGonagall, and a pileup of witches and wizards behind them as they blocked the door, startled by the scene in the room. They had some kind of alarm system that's gone off, maybe.
Sure. The Voldemort alarm.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
yeah, yeah.
We all
they
know
have
about
it set up.
Yeah.
So that when he crosses the threshold.
It's just, it took a little while to get everyone, it turns out.
Well, they weren't sure where he went.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Right? They're like, he's in the building, but like...
But like...
It could be like, anywhere.
What class does Harry have right now? And then they have to track down what class Harry has because the filing system is actually really bad.
They don't have an admin, so like, Dumbledore was in charge of it, theoretically.
Exactly. They're like, seventh year Gryffindors are in, care of magical
creatures.
They could
be literally anywhere. Yeah.
So that's why it took them so long, but they...
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And like, how are they supposed to know what's going on? There's just, like, a bunch of Death Eaters and a puddle.
Petrificus Totalus, Hermione, Harry, and Professors Dumbledore, McGonagall, and Snape cast the spell at almost the same time, formalizing the remaining Death Eaters' gobsmacked defeat. Got them.
Got them. They look... They're petrified and confused. I like that.
Yep. Yeah. Bloody hell, said Ron. Oh, no, said Neville. I've broken my cauldron.
Oh, sweet, sweet little baby boy. The pure child, Neville. Well.
10 points from Gryffindor.
Fuck off.
For making a death poison potion.
Fuck off.
Yeah, 10 points from Gryffindor, Segoia. Professor Snape glared at the shocked faces, turned to him, and rolled his eyes. You all know the headmaster will give them back for defeating he who is now a puddle on my classroom floor.
That's a good one. That's a good one. He who is now a puddle on my classroom floor. That's a good
Pretty
one.
Good. And Dumbledore's like, hinkity dinkity, 10,000 points to Gryffindor.
I know. Like, what actually is... The point value, the house point value of defeating Voldemort.
It's a lot, right?
It's gonna be a lot. It's gotta be so many.
Well, don't just stand there. Stack these petrified imbeciles in that corner. Don't step in it, Weasley!
Run!
Run! Watch where the fuck you're going! Pay attention! What are you doing?
Someone gonna clean this up. What do you do with melted Voldemort? Like, how do you dispose of melted Voldemort? Yeah.
That's a great question. now, headmaster, I shall have to schedule detention for the class to repeat the work we've just missed.
Snape, I swear to fucking God. I swear.
Why is he like this?
Why are you such an asshole? Like, this just was really inconvenient. He was already having such a bad day because the sun is shining.
Right,
and he cannot possibly be having that.
Yeah.
So it's just been downhill the whole day
for him.
It has.
It's been a really trying day.
A really hard day. There's melted Voldemort on his floor. It's a lot.
I think it's more than obvious that Mr. Longbottom did not make a pain-relieving potion. He definitely didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
He relieved some people's pain. Technically.
He technically did relieve the pain of the wizarding world.
So, I think he gets a O for outstanding. Thank you.
Great.
We're done here. Wrap it up.
Detention.
We are all graduating early. With an accio jar and muttered spell, Professor Snape bottled his former master. So there you go.
Oh, you just put him in a little bottle.
Put him in a little jar.
A little jar.
And put him on the shelf.
A little label on it.
Use him for as a potions ingredient.
Yeah. Melted
joins
Voldemort.
The other ingredients.
You're like, be careful with that jar of melted Voldemort.
Yeah. Don't want to touch that, probably. It's got some of the poison mixed in still, probably.
Yeah, you really don't want to touch that, for sure.
Aurors arrived within the half hour to collect the petrified Death Eaters. And that was that.
Easy peasy, honestly.
Turns out, it was actually super easy to get rid of
that. Super easy the whole time. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Imagine that.
I'm like, Voldemort's in a jar. Those guys are gone.
Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Bring on Thursday. And so Neville Longbottom fulfilled a prophecy made before he was born, defeated Tom Riddle, also known as Voldemort, the Dark Lord and he who shall not be named, and became the unexpected and occasionally bemused hero of the wizarding world.
Okay.
This is not, however, a story about Neville Longbottom.
Okay, we're coming back. Cool. Could have fooled me. Could have fooled me.
Most of the text of this story is, in fact, about Neville Longbottom. But.
Really?
Not about him. Not about him.
Okay.
We get a couple asterisks as we change time and location.
I'm scared.
He's gone. Yes, Harry. Hermione and Harry are sitting on a couch in Gryffindor Common Room. Poor Harry.
Poor Harry, he didn't even, he got all the build up and then he didn't even get to defeat Voldemort himself.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a really rough day for Harry.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's mixed.
Get out there, put your toes in the grass, grab your broom, catch some snitches. It's a nice day.
Mm-hmm. So they're sitting on a couch in the Gryffindor Common Room. Ron across from them in an armchair. There's wizard chess on the low table between them. Ron is playing Harry. Hermione is reading, and slowly, over the course of the evening, has been becoming horizontal. Any minute, she will be checked by Harry's shoulder. Really gone. Dead. Melted.
Yeah, this feels like we very much just, like, return to normal. Okay, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Got Voldemort all jarred up.
You see how Harry might be struggling a little bit.
Harry's like, no. The entire basis of my whole life has been that guy is around and trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron's like, can you please, it's your turn.
Can you stop staring into the void?
Also, I am now remembering, now that we've been reading this story for like 25 minutes, I am now remembering that this is tagged romance, and I'd like to remind the class unless they have also forgotten.
Weird how that happened.
Okay, what the fuck is going on?
Yes, Harry, it's been a week now. You must stop saying that. But he's gone, Hermione.
I will stop being your friend if you don't develop a different conversational gambit now, won't we, Ron?
Do you think that's all Harry's said for the last week?
Yes.
It's all they've been able to get out of him.
He's been in class. They're calling on him in class, and he's like, he's dead. He's dead.
He's dead. I'm safe?
He's dead. I'm safe. Everyone's like, that's not anything. Someone help this boy.
Oof. Ron doesn't look up from the chessboard, but nods. Absolutely. This is where we get kind of like the long, nice section of the fan fiction that I'm not sure that there's like a lot of meat here, but it's just really nice. So I think I'm going to read it.
Let's get into it. Hell yeah.
I think I'm going to just read it.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. The book she's reading, Felicitas, The Role of Chance in Magical Research, has slipped to her lap, and she's watching Ron's long fingers as he moves his pieces. She likes his freckles. There's something lighthearted about them. What?
Okay. No, sure, fine, okay.
What?
Just why? But okay.
Something that warms her inside. He's so much taller now. A giant next to her and Harry. More angular, broad-shouldered, and long-haired.
Oh.
Ron's got long hair?
Sure. He's going for a Bill look. Yeah, he's trying it. He's trying it out.
He realized that Bill is the second hottest Weasley, so he's like, yeah, I aim for that.
He's like, I gotta try it.
Yeah.
Can't hurt.
The two hot Weasleys have long hair, so.
Right.
He'd dwarf a chair in her parents' trim house, but Gryffindor common room has always been the right size for the three of them. Ron makes his move and sits back, smiling, long arms relaxed, forearms resting on his knees. Hermione blames perspective for making her look at his crotch. Just a quick peek.
It's like, honestly, not my fault.
Yeah. Cross your legs, Ronald. She puts a bookmark into her place and leans forward to put the book on the table. When she sits back, Harry has shifted because he's decided to move his bishop against its advice. He's so bad at chess. I love that about him.
I love it.
He's terrible at it. He tucks his arm around her so she can continue to lean on him. She sees Ron noticing, watches his faint blush and the crease of his forehead as he looks down at the chessboard.
Uh-huh.
How you feeling over there, buddy? It's a beautiful day.
You know what?
What?
This story isn't about Neville Longbottom.
Story's not about Neville Longbottom. They told you at the top.
You know what? I finally believe.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man.
You're getting on board?
Yes.
One of Harry's knights, captured earlier, is prancing on his knee, and Ron's taking his time over the next move. Hermione is incredibly tired. She knows she should go to bed, but she doesn't want to sleep. She wants to stay awake and replay Lord Voldemort melting into an oily puddle at their feet. She's still thinking about it, too.
Yeah, Harry's having such a hard time processing the fact that, like,
mm-hmm.
no one's trying to kill him right now.
Yeah, for the first time in his life.
Yeah, no one's trying to kill him, and Hermione's just like, isn't it funny? Wasn't it funny?
She's right. She wants to stay near Harry and Ron, knowing that whatever dangers they face tomorrow and the next day, they'll be ordinary dangers, like being hit by a bludger or catching a cold, and not a great evil. She feels Harry breathe under her cheek and watches Ron watch them, her eyes half closed. She wiggles, and when she's comfortable again, her hand is resting on Harry's chest. She can feel his heart now. She can feel Harry, and she can see Ron.
Is this?
What? What?
What?
What? Who's doing what?
What are you talking about?
What's happening here? Nothing's happening here. We're having a nice evening. This isn't a story about Neville Longbottom.
It's definitely not.
She knows that part of her exhaustion is relief,
immense, sweeping, giddy relief, because all she has to do now is pass her newts. The common room looks very ordinary and very beautiful. There's a fire in the fireplace, as that day's warmth did not linger once the twilight approached, and the mountains cast long, friendly shadows across Hogwarts. Summer is coming, and school will be over. Summer is coming, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the main body of the fanfiction.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
So you got a coda.
Okay, okay. I'll wait till the end of the coda to air my grievances. You may continue.
A coda. She's reading Three into One, Polyamory for Witches and Wizards.
Of course she is. It's the Golden Thruple, as we know.
One of the best ships, please. What? What's better
incredible.
Than this? They're all happy and safe.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful summer day.
And nobody even had to defeat Voldemort that was them. It was a whole other person did it.
Yeah, man.
Real quick and easy.
Harry just gets to live his life now. He's not even going to be like bombarded with being the chosen one anymore.
No. No. Neville has to deal with that now.
Yeah. Sucks to suck, Neville. Bye.
Bye.
So she's reading in a corner of the library when Harry and Ron find her. Well, sneak up on her, really. She doesn't know they're there, that they're reading over her shoulders, until Harry says, Hermione! Sounding shocked and middle class.
Fucking roasted.
They got Harry so good. I don't know that I've ever... That's like such a good burn, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh,
so
shit.
Solid. Harry, don't be so bourgeoisie. Please.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about polyamory.
Incredible. Good.
Hermione, what are you reading? She snaps the book shut, catching her fingers. She puts them stinging into her mouth automatically, and that's how she turns. That's what she's doing when she catches Ron's expression.
God damn it.
Let it happen. Let it wash over
sure.
you. Everything's fine. Everything's beautiful. Everything's fine. Everyone's
beautiful
safe.
Day.
Harry is just surprised, but Ron has taken a mental quill and joined three dots, and the O of his eyes and mouth are the points of a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione, he says, rough, low vowels curling round the consonants of her name. And then I think maybe this is a mistake. It says ha in the text, but I think he probably says Harry.
Sure.
Harry, he says, and reaches out with both hands, grabs her and pulls her to him. She barely has time to catch his shoulder with her damp fingers to gasp, Ron, when his mouth is on hers and Harry is so close she can feel him breathe.
Oh, my God.
You had that whole funny section, and now I'm going to read to you about kissing. Polyamorous kissing. Welcome to
there's
the podcast.
There's a probably also, oh, they're in the library, but there's a wind. There's a wind
rustling
through. Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
She's got the windows open next to her because it's a beautiful summer day outside again.
Right, beautiful day. Yeah.
Then her mouth is free, and she can see them kiss. And Harry's melting. Whole but leaning into Ron while his hand squeezes her hip and she shakes like a leaf. A summer leaf in a summer breeze.
I said the breeze.
Yeah, there it is. There's a summer's breeze.
So that's the end. Man, we haven't talked about the Golden Thruple in a while. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, really... it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
A long time.
I never would have guessed. I never
guessed
the Golden Thruple, so...
That's why I told you to stop.
That's my bad, yeah.
So the author in a note says that they wrote this semi-prompted by a sweet meme going around, one that asks you to suggest the ever-after scenario you see for your OTPs, and this is like approximately that for them.
Right. Okay.
They wrote a happily ever after for the Golden Thruple.
I have a gripe.
Okay, what?
directly relates to my ability to make predictions for this fanfiction.
Oh, yeah?
Which is like, she said at the end that Summer wasn't there yet. That Summer was still going to come.
It's the beginning of Summer. There's going to be sure. a long, beautiful Summer.
Fine. I guess it's Summer.
I think the last like month or so of school is June-ish, maybe?
Misleading.
All right. All right.
I didn't get any points, and that's fine, because what the fuck was I going to do? What?
Yeah.
I almost said that Voldemort was going to be defeated in this fanfiction, and then I was
that
like...
That would have been really good.
No, because it's just romance and humor, and so Voldemort probably isn't defeated in the fanfiction. I should have just fucking said it.
Humor. It was humor.
It was humor. God damn it.
He was defeated humorously. So this fanfiction is humor and then romance, I would say.
Right.
It's like funny, and then like we are in the middle of a really nice like romance novel section. It changes tense and like very suddenly like completely shifts gears.
Yeah.
I read this and I was like, this is great. I really like this.
Really good. Really good stuff.
Yeah. So I wanted to share that with everyone because of how nice it was.
And thank you, Lily Ethan, for sending this in.
Oh, yeah. Nice work. Very nice work. You know I love a golden thruple.
All right. You got another one?
I have another one. Let's do this thing.
Let's do it. It's time for more point opportunities. What are we looking at?
This one's title is Madeline Jesselyn Malfoy.
Fuck yeah, it is. It absolutely fucking is. Hell yeah.
Sometimes I pair fan fictions because like they go together for some reason or another.
This?
These are not paired for any particular reason other than their lengths seem to work out to an episode.
My God. Okay, great.
A Madeline Jesselyn Malfoy.
Already 100% invested.
The genre tags are drama / humor.
Incredible.
Okay, author. Go off. And the time period is right before Deathly Hallows.
Shit. Madeline Jesselyn?
Madeline Jesselyn Malfoy.
Fucking
Oh, wait.
Incredible.
No, I'm reading that wrong because I can't read. Jeslyn.
Okay.
Madeline Jeslyn.
Jeslyn Malfoy.
Jeslyn.
Jeslyn? Sure.
Yes. It's one of those.
Okay. This is hard. Prediction number one is that this fan fiction will be about Madeline going to Hogwarts for her first year, right? So we're going to get her like on the platform, getting on the train. Hard to tell how far we're going to get. So may not even get to Hogwarts or sorting. Yeah. That was a little nebulous, but.
I don't know if that was a prediction.
The prediction is, this is so, knowing that it's short is so much harder. Shit.
Let me see what the word count was on FF before I cut it down. I think I cut it down just a little bit. It was 1,200 words.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, one, Madeline is going to be sorted in this fan fiction.
Okay.
Number two, Madeline is going to befriend Harry Potter's child in this
fan
fiction.
You think this is next gen?
Yes.
Okay.
And now I'm going to make a one that's not that because you just said that.
Okay.
Number three, this is Draco Malfoy's twin sister.
Great. Nice
That's
work.
It. That's it.
The fanfiction entitled Madeline Jesselyn Malfoy begins as such.
Okay.
Hermione woke up.
Okay. Fuck. Shit. Damn it. Okay, what?
Hermione woke as she heard her mum, Jane Granger, call her for breakfast. Grumbling, Hermione threw off her dark purple duvet covers and trailed down the stairs to her kitchen, where the smell of pancakes, waffles, eggs, bacon, and toast was coming from.
God damn!
Her mom's having a problem. cooking problem. Or maybe the cooking is her solution.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a problem to me. That sounds
so
great.
Much food. It's just Hermione and Jane.
That sounds so good. Now I'm hungry.
Pancakes and waffles, really?
Yes. Why not?
And toast?
Yes. All three things that I shouldn't be eating.
They're gluten-free.
It's all the gluten-free variety. Yeah.
Jane lives the gluten-free lifestyle.
Naturally.
Okay. Not like I don't want this breakfast, but what the heck is all this for? Hermione asked her mother.
Oh, this is not normal. Okay, great.
Yeah, this is a lot of food, dude. Come on. Who was shaking slightly as she made Hermione and herself a cup of coffee.
I have something to tell you.
And for some reason, we get no response from Jane. Instead, we go into more Hermione dialogue.
Okay, fine.
Okay, can I go to Diagon Alley today, please? Ginny and I need to go shopping. Seems like maybe they forgot to write something there. So maybe her mom said something like, yeah. Oh, no reason.
No reason. I just was craving all these foods.
Wanted all the breads.
Every bread.
And Hermione's like, okay, can I go to Diagon Alley? Of course, dear. Whatever you want. Squealing in excitement, Hermione kissed Jane on her cheek and ran to her room to shower and change. After stepping out of the steaming shower, Hermione made her way over to her walk-in closet to pick out her outfit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Walk-in closet.
Oh, she's got a walk-in closet. She's fashion.
Yes.
This bitch is fashion today, and I'm so Hermione, ready.
Hermione's going to pick out an outfit now.
Yes!
She picked out a pair of dark blue hip-hugger jeans and a dark blue tank top. With a white off-the-shoulder sweater.
I can see it. I can see it so clearly.
For shoes, she picked blue and white Quicksilvers.
Wow. Of a time. This is of a time.
Uh-huh. She's got her
hip
dark
huggers.
Blue, ultra-low hip-hugger jeans.
Ugh.
An off-the-shoulder sweater and skater shoes on.
She looks great.
She looks great. I think I forgot to mention at the top that this was sent to me by an anonymous listener. So somebody found these outfit descriptions and was like,
we're like,
you know who needs to see this? Kim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kim needs to see these outfit descriptions. And I'm like, yes, I did. Thank you.
Man.
I love an outfit description.
I wanted Quicksilver so bad.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Yeah. I never wore like the Quicksilvers or the Vans. Wasn't that cool?
Converse only. And still.
Converse only.
Yeah.
And even that, I didn't get my first pair of Converse until like high school. I would have written an outfit description like this, to be honest.
Sure, for sure.
Flip through the magazines and pick out the things you wish you could have and be like, yeah. Hermione was wearing all of the things in this magazine that I wish I could have.
Yeah, exactly.
In her walk-in closet. She brushed her slightly lightened deep brown hair. You think it's like lightened, like Gwen got highlights?
Oh, for sure highlights.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. Good for her.
Chunky ones.
She got some chunky highlights.
Highlights.
She brushes her hair, then grabbed her purse and made her way to her fireplace. She grabbed some flue powder and shouted, Diagon Alley.
Bye, Mom. Good luck with whatever cooking problem
whatever
you're
feelings
having.
Feelings you're having. It's not even clear that she ate anything.
I don't think she did.
She just came down and was like, what's happening here? Her mom does not respond. And she's like, okay, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Rude.
Oh, Jin. I want to see if the newest version of Hogwarts of History is out yet.
Hermione still a breathed. Nerd. Yeah.
Still Hermione. See, she loves books.
She got Quicksilvers on, but she still loves books.
Still Hermione. Ginny rolled her eyes, but followed her best friend inside. As Hermione was walking in, talking and laughing, she bumped into none other than a Draco Malfoy.
Naturally.
Watch it, mud. Oh my god. Draco looked at Hermione.
Fuck off.
Ha ha ha!
It's the hip huggers. It's the hip huggers.
It's actually not. Hold for the text.
Okay.
What is it? Hermione turned around and stared at Ginny, asking if she had anything on her face. Ginny looked shocked.
Oh no.
Can I at least see for myself? Hermione asked.
What caused her to go through the transformation?
Wordlessly, Ginny handed Hermione her compact mirror. Hermione was shocked at what she saw. It's unclear what caused the transformation.
Okay.
It seems like either it just, like, coincidentally happened at the same time as she bumping into Draco Malfoy, or it was prompted by her bumping into Draco Malfoy.
Into Draco Malfoy. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of wavy, deep brown hair, there mm-hmm. was straight, shoulder-length blonde hair.
As soon as she was, like, in her walk-in closet putting on her clothes, I was like, this bitch is Jessalyn.
Is Madeline.
Madeline.
Yeah. Meet Madeline.
God damn it.
She spent a lot of money on those highlights. Now they're gone. What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Instead of deep chocolate eyes, there were warm, ice blue eyes.
Warm, yet icy.
Yet icy.
Yeah. So that's fine.
Hermione's figure had become a perfect hourglass figure, and she had grown, reaching 5'6" instead of her original 5'4".
Okay.
She had a perfect hourglass figure, and she grew 2 inches.
She just grew 2 inches. I love it. I love it. Why?
Deep, intense wish fulfillment is why Sequoia Cabot. Come on, dude. She's grown. Her figure has changed and she's grown 2 inches, causing her clothes to tighten slightly and shrink. Holy Mother of Merlin! Hermione exclaimed, causing everyone in the bookshop to look at her. Why the hell do I look like you? Draco shrugged. I have a theory.
He does.
See, 5 years ago, in our second year at Hogwarts, I think we should go to the ice cream parlor.
No. No. What? No. He was fully in the middle of an explanation. And now he's just not gonna do that because he's suddenly struck with the need for ice cream.
He's like, I think we need to discuss this over a little bit of ice cream.
I mean, what?
Why?
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 Okay.
With that suggestion, the trio walked to the parlor and ordered their ice cream.
Like, okay, sure. You know what, Draco? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's go get ice cream.
And not talk on the way there.
I also feel like the amount of, like, me remembering the way that those hip hugger jeans would fit your body. If you just, like, grew.
Oh my God, yeah.
I don't think you could walk anymore.
No.
You would immediately have to find a new outfit to be wearing.
Or magically change the size and shape of your pants.
Exactly.
Which she doesn't do. She's just wearing short, uncomfortably tight hip huggers now. Yes. That sounds terrible.
Oh, God.
She's like waddling to the ice cream parlor.
Exactly.
Poor Hermione.
Terrible. Oof.
So they've walked to the ice cream parlor and they've ordered their ice cream. And Draco continued his story.
He really needed the ice cream.
He's going to say all of one sentence now. What the fuck, dude?
Great.
Anyway, in our second year at Hogwarts, my mother told me that I had a twin. Nice work. I did get it.
And I have you to thank because you took me off the train I was on.
Yeah.
but
who? I felt pity on you. You did so poorly in the first one. Out of 6 point opportunities, I could give you one.
God, give me one. Man. Oh, okay.
That I had a twin who, by our 17th birthday, would change her looks to her original ones.
So that's why Mom was so freaked
out. Potentially, the piece up top that the author forgot to write was, "It's your birthday, honey. I wanted to make you a big breakfast."
Exactly. We were missing the fact that it was her birthday.
I think we maybe lost a sentence somewhere along the way.
Yeah, yeah. Poor so it's author. Her birthday. This is a time-centric change in...
Potentially.
Hmm.
And it was by her 17th birthday, which means it could have happened before, but it happens on.
That's true.
Maybe.
That's true. Maybe.
You mean to tell me that I'm really your twin and that just a second ago my concealment charm fell down, revealing my true self? Okay, I'm totally confused.
I don't think you are, though. I think it seems like you got it. Seems like you got it.
You got it in one, actually. That's exactly what just happened. Wait! Hermione can't be my real name, can it?
No.
Could be.
I mean, it could be.
It could be. No, it's actually Madeline Jeslin Malfoy. Madeline meaning tower of strength in Greek, and Jeslin meaning blessed with wealth and beauty. Draco said as if he had it memorized by heart, which he did.
Of course he did, because he was a child and his mom was like, "Oh, by the way, casual.
By the way,
you have a twin sister.
She's somewhere at school with you.
She's somewhere. You'll figure it out.
We got rid of her for reasons.
Yeah. So naturally he has that memorized.
Madeline Jeslin. Tower of strength.
Blessed.
Blessed with wealth and beauty.
Yeah.
That's Hermione. That's her.
Always has been. Always will be.
But how is this possible? You didn't know it was me, did you?
Nope. Mom only told me she was a witch who was adopted.
But no further context. No further context as to why or what the hell is going on.
Correct. Well spotted, Sequoia.
Ooh, boy.
Hermione played with her blonde hair and suddenly broke the silence. I guess I have to get more clothes somewhere. All mine is going to be too small.
Actually, I'm in physical pain right now, so I think I should
do not. I unbutton them, but like, I'm still not okay.
It's like really not good. Oh man.
Let's go then, Ginny said.
Bye.
Draco waved goodbye to her and mouthed, "Bye, Maddie," which made Hermione shudder.
Oh wow.
She didn't love that.
And neither did I. Neither did any of us. No one liked that.
I hate that.
But
Maddie.
He just wants his sister.
He did. But also, he's still Draco.
He's also still garbage.
Yeah.
A tilde, tilde, tilde. Passage of time and change of location.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione, or Madeline.
The hip.
We're going to keep calling her Hermione, though, aren't we? Yes, we are. Good for
us. Nice. Nice.
Walked into a Muggle clothes shop and bumped into Seamus Finnegan.
Interesting.
Hey, Ginny, have you seen Hermione anywhere? I've been hoping to see her, he said.
Oh.
She's right here. Ginny indicated Hermione, who waved slightly. Seamus's jaw dropped a mile. Hermione? Seamus looked at her. Hermione nodded and pulled a necklace out from her shirt.
Uh-huh.
It was a necklace Seamus gave her.
Uh-huh.
It was a shiny silver chain with a heart on the end. The heart said Seamus loves Hermione.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What? What? What is this pairing? And also, what is that? Gift.
Yeah. Hermione is such a audience stand-in, like a reader stand-in for people.
Yeah.
They just pair her with whichever character they like the best.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a ton of Hermione / Seamus, though.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one.
It's odd. Also, what is that gift?
The gift is bad.
Also, I like how we've not mentioned Seamus up to this point.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not a single word about the fact that Hermione is dating and has been for some time, apparently. Seamus Finnegan. Got her a heart-shaped necklace that says Seamus loves Hermione on it.
Yikes.
Seamus, I know this is unbelievable, but let me explain.
Hermione walked inside the clothes store and explained everything. You and Malfoy, huh? If you're related to all the Malfoys, you should be in Slytherin, Seamus said with a deep frown.
Fucking rude.
Reevaluating his relationshipingly?
Absolutely.
He's not into blondes, it turns out, actually. Unlike the blonde hair.
But she has a perfect hourglass shape now.
That's good and all, but like, she's got blonde hair.
Yeah. So. Fucking rude, man.
He's like, yeah, Malfoy's kind of sucks. So I think maybe we're over there. We're over, and I'm going to go talk to Dean about this over some ice cream.
I don't know. I have to talk to Draco when I get a chance.
You already talked to him. What are you talking about, dude?
And you, like, voluntarily left that conversation.
Well, her pants were so uncomfortable.
That's true. No, that wasn't voluntary. She did need new pants really bad.
Hermione shrugged and looked helplessly at Seamus, who kissed her lightly and walked away.
It's like, fucking bye.
Bye. Bye.
Shit.
I gotta go think about some stuff.
Wow.
Bye.
See how it is. Damn.
Hermione and Ginny bought tons of new clothes and books and went back to the Burrow.
Shopping spree.
What are the two things Hermione wants for her birthday? Clothes and books.
And, you know, she's got a full walk-in closet that she needs she to does. Fill with new clothes because none of yep. those clothes fit her anymore.
None of them fit.
Yeah. So sucks. A lot of shopping to be done.
Yeah. That's the end of the fan fiction.
Shit. Incredible. Incredibly
actually,
done.
You know what? I'll give you a little more. I did trim below that because it was super boring.
Uh-huh.
Draco goes home and tells his parents that he found his sister. And they're like, she's a mudblood?
Like, which sucks. No. She's not.
Yeah, also, she's not. And then they Narcissa's like, we should invite her to dinner. So they invite her to dinner. Oh, we get one more clothing description. Why did I cut this?
Huh, how dear.
Hermione arrived to dinner in a beautiful dress. It was knee length with a flare. It had one sleeve and was a pretty purple color.
One sleeve.
It hugged her curves in all
the right places. Pew, 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 pew.
She's wearing a one-sleeved, knee-length flare dress.
She looks like a figure skater.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's incredible.
And she walks in and they say, hi. And wait, no, Narcissa says something buck wild. What the fuck? She says, Madeline Jeslin, I've never expected you and Draco to meet.
Why?
No explanation. And then Hermione looks around the house and is like, this house is beautiful. And that's
the end.
Almost the end. She's like, this okay. is a beautiful house. And the last sentence is, the memories of the Malfoy family calling her mudblood still ran deep. So she's like, okay. This is a beautiful house.
And also,
y'all have been buck wild to me.
Fuck off. Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's so, good. At least we're still, at least we're still thinking about it. At least we're still thinking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. We haven't also, completely discounted that.
Narcissa, why any? Why any of it? Yeah, why any of this? Why any of this?
I would guess that fuck? Not knowing the answers to why any of this is maybe the reason why there's only one chapter of this.
Hather's like, you know what? I don't really know. I actually couldn't tell you. Oh, great.
Very funny.
Wow. Well, I got 1 point. Yay!
You did.
1 out of 6 today, folks.
I almost forgot to tell you a very important thing about this fanfiction.
Oh, okay.
The author of this fanfiction on FF.net is an author we've featured before.
Who?
This author also wrote The Ethan Sisters.
That's amazing! An absolutely a legend.
Yeah.
We
got two Hermione transformation fics out of this author.
I love that. I love that.
I love them so much.
So good.
This one also didn't have big Pokemon energy, but you know, I can imagine it did.
We can project that onto it. Okay, great. And now it's time for a quick fix. Quick Fix is a segment where we talk about a story that was bright and shiny and beautiful in its own special way, but maybe wasn't exactly perfect for reading upon the podcast. And so today I have for you a fan fiction.
Okay.
This fan fiction was sent in by Siobhan. Thank you so much for sending this in. It's called There Is Always Hope, and it's a fan fiction about Harry is just like trying to go to school. He goes to King's Cross and then somebody blows up King's Cross and he's the only survivor. So then the whole wizarding world is like, hey, Harry Potter blew up King's Cross and killed all the people in there.
What?
And they sent him to Azkaban.
Okay. The end?
No, this is all this all happens before the fan fiction starts. We just get like Harry's in Azkaban and he's just like talking about why he is in Azkaban. He's been in Azkaban for like a year, and Dumbledore and Remus have been like ousted from wizarding society because they're like, guys, no way Harry blew up King's Cross. There's no way that happened. And then it's very, very angsty, very, very angsty. He's like, I am in Azkaban, it's the worst place ever. And then a guard comes to get him and is like, you have a visitor. And he's like, I have a visitor, but no one visits me because I blew up King's Cross, they think, everyone.
Right.
And so he goes to see who has come to visit him. And it is, in fact, Cho Chang.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's Cho Chang. And he's like, oh my God, Cho Chang, the love of my life.
Okay.
Is here. And he's like, wow, I had never thought I'd see her again. The most beautiful woman in the world, Cho Chang. And Cho Chang is crying. And she's like, I've come to save you. The only person who would help me is Kingsley Shacklebolt. He is also here.
Okay.
They brought him an invisibility cloak. They put him under there.
You'd think they wouldn't let people in to visit prisoners with one of those.
But apparently they snuck it in somehow. Also, nobody knows that Cho is there. They think that just like Kingsley is there. It's very confusing. They get Harry under the visibility cloak and she walks him for a little bit. And then she's like, there are guards. So we both need to get under the invisibility cloak. And then they're like, and they're like blushing. And they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to be so close to each other under the invisibility cloak. I'm like,
really not the time for that.
Azkaban. Like, can we not right now?
Oh my God.
And then, and then that's it. That's as far as the fan fiction got.
That's really good.
Anyway, really good. I thought you should all know about that.
Why any of that? Okay, thank you.
I thought you should all know. And thank Siobhan you. Thought you should all know. So, yeah. And now, it's time for
The Rec Zone.
Boop, 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 boop.
The recommendation I have for everyone today is called The Other Side of the Glasses. It was sent to me by Sam K. So thank you for sending this to me. It is a super cute, really like fun and fluffy Harry/Percy.
Oh,
which is not a ship I've seen a lot of, but it's really cute. Harry and Percy are like kind of brought together. Percy tries to help Harry with his vision. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with your glasses? They're all fucked up. So he takes him to see an optometrist and they cure his vision. And the two of them, they like bond over it and get really close. And it's really cute.
Oh, so, I like that.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that fanfiction. It's very fun.
A link to that fanfiction will be in the description of this episode. It will also be on our website,
fanaticalfix.com.
Also on our website is the story submission form. Everything that you have heard about here today was submitted by a listener. And you too may submit to the podcast.
Also on the website, we have merchandise. On the website, there is a digital download of Yes Glitter if you want to check out our cool zine that we made a million years ago. There's also a link to our TeePublic where you can find a bunch of fun designs on all kinds of objects. Like any object they can get their hands on to print a design on, they will print it on that object.
If you want to send in your predictions, you can follow us over on Instagram at FanaticalFix.
You can also send them into our email, but you can send, you know, whatever into our email. We're getting so many carrot times still.
Still getting a lot of carrot times. Really keep them coming.
Enjoying that. We got a couple that are like, this is how long the carrot I ate wasn't as much time. So this is how long Hermione's carrot would have been. I saw a few of those and I was like, this is what I want. Because I'd forgotten how long Hermione ate the carrot for. It was a whole hour.
If you want to help out this podcast, there's a couple ways to do that. First would be to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or a rating on Spotify.
Another way you can help this podcast out is if on a beautiful summer's afternoon, you and some very close friends of yours are sitting, enjoying each other's company, your head sliding slowly down one of their shoulders. And so you're more and more comfortable, and you're all just enjoying each other's presence. Maybe you could try enhancing the mood by putting on this podcast for them. Trick your thruple 2024.
Good. You can also find us over at patreon.com/fanaticalfix, where we have bonus episodes, bonus live streams, exclusive merch, and of course our fabulous community over on Discord, where people are having a fabulous time. So join us over there.
Yeah, thanks so much to our patrons. Their support lets us do this. And thanks also to the Whomping Willows for letting us use their song Wolf Star as our theme song. You can find that and more of their music at thewhompingwillows.bandcamp.com.
Bye.